Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7, presented by Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, Big Deals, Big O Tires, Ivy Tech Community College, and TC Trailers. The online telecast at HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by Avery Home Store, Braden Business Systems, Copper Electric Services, VFW Post 1110, Marshan's Window Tinting, Ellis Jewelers, Witham Health Services, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, The Community Foundation, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoups, Big O Tires, CMIM Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Dan Ginda Funeral Home, Culligan Water, Shoups Country Foods, The Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center. Tell us about the forecast and what's happening on the roads over there, Mel.
Okay, forecast-wise, it's going to be warmer today. We're going to see somewhere around in the 70s, 75 for here. They're saying 77, breaking records down in Indianapolis. Some scattered showers, chance of a thunderstorm today during the morning hours as, you know, this fog clears out. But a chance of partly sunny skies later on this afternoon. And then, you know, don't hold your breath. Enjoy it while you got it, because we got a chance of showers and thunderstorms coming back in this evening.
Let's hear it from Mother Nature today. Woohoo!
Yeah, well,
she took her meds. She's good.
Yeah. We'll see. Menopause is still hitting anyway. You know, we'll see some sun again on Sunday and Monday, but then the rain moves back in again. So at least the quantities aren't like what they're having down south. Down south, it's terrible. They've got roads washed out. We've got friends down in Davies County and Johnson County and Jennings County. It's, you know, what they're telling us, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, prayers out to those guys having to deal with all that. People driving on the roads, remember, dense fog. It says it's going to be out here by 9, but let's face it, it's Indiana. Probably not. So just be careful out there. State Road 39 is still southbound, is still shut down right now. Closed at State Road 38 in Antioch due to an accident that was there earlier this morning at State Road 39 and 650 South. So they're trying to get that all taken care of and cleaned up. So just stay out of the area, let them do their work. And then also Rossville Avenue and State Road 39 is closed in the area of Willow Street here in Frankfort. So just take alternate routes. Stay out of the way. Let them get their jobs done.
All right. Today is Friday, March 6th, by the way. Hopefully your boss will be buying you lunch today. It's National Employee Appreciation Day, if I can say that
so
right.
So where are we going?
Russ Casper. National Employee Appreciation Day.
We buy each other lunch all the time. So
Russ Casper. Not mentioning any names. Russ Casper. All right, we do have some wonderful people in studio with us. If Mel will hit their mic button, thank you very much. Emily Himmersbach is the Chief Marketing and Communications Director. And Catherine, tell me your last name.
Calabro.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, like Dave Calabro, any relation?
Not related, but yes, okay. I get that all the time.
I just want to make sure I was saying it right. She is the communications officer for the Community Foundation of Howard, Clinton, and Carroll Counties. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys today?
Oh, we're just peachy. It's Friday, so why wouldn't we be?
I'm with you. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yay for the weekend, right?
Yes, yes. It's our favorite when we make a trip over to WILO. So.
Well, and it's fun because when we see you come in, we know it's a Friday. Well,
oh,
usually.
Yeah.
There
yes.
are those
rare chances
that we have to mix things up a little bit. So anyway, again, I look at the schedule here and I'm like, my goodness, there's lots of things to talk about.
I was going to say, like, I feel like I come over here and you guys are like, what's going on? And I'm never like, oh, nothing.
Well, that's good, right?
It is good. We stay very busy over at the foundation and it's always fun stuff.
It is fun stuff. Well, let's talk about the scholarship application deadline was at the beginning of the month. It was March 1st.
Yep.
And so do we know how that went? Have we had a chance to examine that at all?
Oh, goodness. We're in the throes of it right now. Bethany, I should say, is in the throes of it. Our scholarships officer. I'm not in the throes of it. But once that application closes, the hard work begins.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So she gave me numbers yesterday. We have 229 students to look through.
Wow.
In all three counties combined. So Our committees are going to be hard at work here soon. She's getting all those applications together, aligning them with the scholarships they are eligible for, and then we'll get those packets out to our committee members so they can start reading about these students and making those tough decisions that come every year. So thank you to any adults out there. I know there are a lot of adults out there that did reference letters, I think even in the office here. Some people did some reference letters for those students, and I know that that's important, and now we'll be walking through that process of the decision-making process for all of those scholarships that were so generously donated by our donors. So,
is that number up from previous years as far as applicants?
I think that's pretty standard. I would say we're right around the typical for a year as far as applicants go.
Yeah, we're not seeing big number changes in the schools. So I would think, it's with basically the same number of kids, it'd be about the same number of applicants.
Yeah. I think we're seeing about the same. I think it's pretty standard for what I've seen in the past few years. So
I went to, of course, here at the end of February, we just celebrated FFA week. Uh-huh. So I was visiting the local high schools. I was really surprised at how many kids did not know that they could fill out one application.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, deadline's the first, get your butts in gear. So a lot of them, we're gonna do it that
Good.
Weekend. So
I know we try so hard to get the word out. And I know Bethany's working on some things to maybe engage those students before their senior year, start that process a little earlier, getting them engaged with the foundation. We've been talking about those things a lot. I think it's important for students to not count themselves out. I think lacking confidence is something that we know is happening a lot, where they count themselves out because they're not the valedictorian of their class. And I always tell them, like, that might not be what that donor was looking for when they made that scholarship. A lot of them are very different selection criteria. And so I always tell students to not count themselves out. They might as well apply, especially if they're considering going to college.
Oh, yeah. My kids were not straight-A students. I mean, they did well.
Yeah.
But they weren't straight-A students, and both my kids got several scholarships. So,
yeah. I mean, it's all about donor intention. When the donors when they establish those scholarships, they tell us what kind of student they want to receive those scholarships. And it's based on a number of things. A lot of them are more so based on what the student wants to go to study. Or where the student is going to school. Like, if you're alumni of that school, sometimes you want to, your student to, you want a student from Clinton Central or a student from Frankfort High School because that's your high school. So it's always based on all different things, and I always tell students not to count themselves out of that process. And if you know a student who's going to go into their senior year next year, make sure that they start talking to them about it now.
Well, and a lot of them are mm-hmm. reoccurring.
Yep.
That if, as long as they do what they're supposed to when they go to college, mm-hmm. they can reapply and possibly get that scholarship again.
Yeah. We have several renewal scholarships, so that's really nice for the students, because I know the first year is usually the year they have the most scholarships, and then the next few years are the tougher years for students. So, definitely be paying attention to that when you're going through the scholarships application.
So now that the applications are in, how does that process work? I know that there's somebody in your office that starts to sort through those. Mm-hmm. But then once that initial sort through has kind of happened, talk about where and how it works from there.
Yeah. So once the initial sort through happens, the packets are sent out to committee members. Each county has their own committee, scholarships committee. And so those people get the opportunity to read those applications, and then they have a meeting and go through all of them, and each scholarship they make a decision on who's receiving that scholarship based on their eligibility for it, based on what they're doing, it just based on the overall whole student. So they look at everything, and these are your local community members that are making these decisions. We at the foundation as staff, we just facilitate those conversations, but your local community members are the ones that are actually making the decisions, telling us what to do, and then we go back to the office and we do all the work of getting those out to the students, making the selections, Bethany goes to all the award nights and gets to surprise the students with those awards. And then our super fun signs start popping up out of the ground.
Those. Yes.
We have to get through the award night first, and then you'll start seeing the signs blooming.
I think that was such a cool thing you did. Like, how cool is it when people drive? I mean, if you're a kid and somebody's driving by your house and they see a sign in the yard that says basically "you done good."
Yes.
I think that is something really cool that you guys started.
It's really fun. We wanted to find ways to celebrate the students, and also I think it's important for the community to see the impact of what's happening at the foundation. Sometimes it's hard to recognize, but when you're driving all over your county and you're seeing those signs and you see five on your drive, you're like, oh my gosh, that's like five families, five students that are impacted by the dollars that are supporting the community foundation. So it's a huge deal. And again, we want to celebrate the students. We want them to feel celebrated. They've done hard work and they've earned those scholarships, no doubt. So it's just a fun project to do.
And they'll find out when they get their scholarships.
Usually their awards night.
Okay, so they won't know,
not
really.
Not till May, usually.
Okay.
Yep, not till May. So it goes through a process. The committee sends all of those recommendations to our board, and then our board approves the recommendations. So it's a very long, it's not a very long process, but it's a couple months process of getting those approvals through and then doing the award nights and letting the students know. So we're usually not done, because we have three counties, we're usually not done with awards nights till June 1st, essentially.
Emily Himmersbach is the Chief Marketing and Communications Director for the Community Foundation of Howard, Clinton, and Carroll Counties, and she's joined by Catherine Calabro, Communications Officer. And Catherine is a little new.
Yeah, let's pick on Catherine.
So,
a bit.
Let's move the mic over to Catherine and put her on the hot seat here for just a minute. And how long have you been with the foundation now?
This is my second week. So please do not ask me a lot of the tough questions.
Man, she threw you right in, didn't she?
She certainly did. It has been such a learning curve, but I am so impressed with the work that the foundation is doing for our communities.
Well, I know what draws me to the foundation, but what drew you to the foundation as far as, hey, that looks like a great place to work, I want to apply there?
Well, I think I had already been in communications for almost 7 years at my previous job in Lafayette, and I really wanted something that was going to be close to home. The funny thing is, I had actually worked in Frankfurt for a while as a former reporter for the Frankfurt Times, and I loved everything that you guys did here. I learned so much, and I thought, man, if I can help that community in some way, like moving forward, I would love to do that. So when this job came up, I thought, oh my gosh, so I can be in Howard County and still be making a difference in other communities. And I had to take that chance. So
yeah, it's a fun organization. Well, we get to hang out with Emily. So
I know.
It's always fun.
She's very, I mean, the community itself, just the work community, it was amazing. I thought, man, if they don't pick me, I'm going to be so bummed.
Sorry to those other folks, but.
Right.
Well, we're glad to have you along, and we will look for. So what will your responsibilities be as the communications officer?
Really being Emily's sidekick, anything that she wants me to do or complete, but really just offering support in all of the initiatives that we are doing with the annual report. I know that I need to write a story for them here soon, and just offering support as far as
social media,
and
will I be getting press releases from you instead of Emily now?
I hope so. I hope that she lets me take some of those responsibilities over. I would love to take some of the pressure off her and put it onto me, because she was doing so much. Her and Skylar both, the work they were doing is amazing.
And Emerald, and I mean,
oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, just incredible. I'm really looking forward to the events and being able to kind of coordinate and support those. Just so that these communities continue to celebrate their successes. I think that's what's so exciting about this position.
Well, we're glad to have you. And
yes,
we'll be looking for the posts on Facebook and following you on social media as
Thank
well.
Thank you. It's been such a warm welcome. So I'm really thrilled to be here.
Community Foundation is our guest on Party Line today, and they also support lots of local nonprofits through grants. Talk about some of those grant applications and that selection process versus, you know, kids that are in school.
Yeah. So that's probably what maybe people don't realize is we have two massive processes happening at the same time. So our scholarships application closed on March 1st, and our grant cycles in all three counties closed on March 2nd. So we have a lot of applications, a lot of committee members busy. Our staff are extremely busy. So in Carroll and Clinton County, we have two grant cycles every year. We have one in the spring and one in the fall. And then in Howard County, we have four grant cycles every year. So this is one of our rounds where we have all three counties going at the same time. And so now that those applications have closed, Emerald will start that process of pulling the packets, making sure everything is on the application, and prepping those applications for our committee members. She'll get those out. It's kind of similar to what you hear when I talk about the scholarships application process. The packets will go out to the committee members. They have time before the meeting to read through the applications, write up their questions, and then they all meet in the same room. They sit down and they do go over each application and discuss it in depth. Does it align with the community needs? Does it align with what the foundation, our mission and our goals? And then budget, you know, of course, we have to have that conversation. We only have so many dollars to give every year. So they are very mindful of that in the stewardship process and making sure that we are getting out the dollars in the best way possible. So they'll be going through those meetings. They'll go to the board. And then Emerald will make those phone calls. You know, she has to make both the fun phone calls and the phone calls to say, hey, you weren't funded this time, you know, and have those conversations. I think, you know, they're valuable in both ways. We try to give good feedback so that nonprofits can continue to improve and move forward. But the fun phone calls are always the, hey, you got your grant.
That is a fun phone call.
It is. It is.
We'll talk about some of the projects that you've done, because we don't have them out yet this year, but just give it some folks an idea of some of the things that you guys have helped with, because
sure,
there's quite a few of them, and some of them have been bigger than others. You know, there's no bit too big or too small, I guess.
Yeah. So we're working through those right now, talking through or working on our annual report for 2025. So a good example of a grant that went out last year would be the Onstage Foundation at the Red Barn Theater. We did a $4,250 grant, and that was for a like golf cart for them, for their volunteers to help maintain the property and stuff. And we actually have pictures of it for the annual report. It's really cool. And they had a fun name for it, but I can't for the life of me remember what it was right now. So you'll have to check the annual report, because I know I put the name they have for it in there. But things like that, you know, we had several food bank supports last year. You guys know that was a big issue last fall. And so all three counties, you'll see in the annual report, that because of the donors that we have that support unrestricted dollars, we were able to react to those needs and get those dollars in the hands of the people that are doing the work to get people fed and to be reactive to that whole crisis that was happening in November. So you'll see several of those in the annual report this year. In Carroll County, let's see here. We had some support for Children's Garden. They had a really cool nutrition program for their kids that included some learning opportunities and also actual nutrition for them. So we were able to help support that with a grant of $10,000. We supported Delphi Opera House and that program that we love so much, the art enrichment program over there. That's for students all over Carroll County to learn the arts. And I have some fun pictures of that. You know, it's really cool. I think my favorite thing that they do in that art enrichment program, it's essentially like a petting zoo for instruments. And I think that is so cool. We get pictures every year of it. And the kids get to like play with all these different instruments. And, you know, I think it's fun for kids to actually like see what each instrument is like and maybe, you know, choose their liking. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is expensive. So having an opportunity to do like a petting zoo with them is very cool. They also do some theater production, art, obviously. So that's just a really fun program over there that we love. Then there's those grants that I would say, you know, we've talked about it. They're not as sexy like you guys have said, but they're also important, like lights for the baseball field in I think Flora. And they needed that lighting in order to have more games into the evening and for safety of the children and the adults and all of that. And so that was a grant that, well, it doesn't seem exciting to the community member, maybe it is exciting for the people that are using that, because now they're able to have games after dark, which is a huge deal when you're trying to facilitate all the things in a community. So you know, we look at everything through a lens of the needs of the community and what the community is requesting, and our community members that are on our committees are in the community, so they know what the needs are too, and make those decisions based on several factors in order to decide where those grants are going.
Emily Himmersbach and Catherine Labro are our guests from the Community Foundation of Howard, Clinton, and Carroll Counties on Party Line today. And I know you guys who work at the, or you ladies in this particular case, who work there at the Community Foundation are continually doing more education yourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I see you guys are taking a class here, you're going to a workshop there. Talk about how important that is to the mission of the foundation.
Yeah, so, I mean, education is really important to us. I'm thankful our president, Todd Mosier, he's really, he values education and thinks that it only makes our organization better, and our growth is valuable, and we want to make ourselves better for the community. So learning the new processes and things that we can do to enhance what the Community Foundation is doing is vital to the work that we do. So we do try to set aside some time to attend educational events and make sure that we're doing our best work. So we get all kinds of different opportunities. Sometimes we don't have as much time to do it. Sometimes we do. But I think the ones that always stand out to me are the ones that teach us how to be better stewards, that teach us how to streamline processes so that we can do better for our grantees and for our students. And then just teach us how to be better humans, too, which is always a value to all of us.
And then you bring those classes back, and you then turn around and try and teach others.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're huge on education on the front end, too. We've talked about our leadership series before. We do that every year, which is a six-month series once a month, half day once a month. And that's always waitlisted. We do provide it free to our nonprofit friends, and it's just a huge value. They finished their strategic planning class this month, which if you guys know anything about strategic planning, that's a really deep subject, but it's also really important for a nonprofit to have a strategic plan and to know where they're, what direction they're going. And so being able to educate them, but also being able to provide an opportunity for them to all be in the same room and rub shoulders with each other, I think that's of just as much value, if not more value, than the actual education, because what better thing than to have some friends that are in the same field as you that you can have conversations about the things that are going right and also the things that are going wrong?
Not only that, boy, when we get our nonprofits together here, and we, Melissa and I've talked about this before, you talk about ideas that really start flowing, and somebody will say, oh, well, I have something for you. Well, I've got something for you over here. And it, as long as they're on the same page, boy, you talk about a win-win for the community.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I think that's something we've seen really bloom out of those opportunities to bring people together and in the same room. One example I have is in Howard County, something that's come kind of out of a lot of these conversations is the Kokomo Performing Arts League. And it is a group that has, I think it's four or five arts related nonprofits that are working together now to coordinate their schedules so that they are not having events on the same night and pulling from each other, but they're also working together to provide marketing to the community for all of the things that they're doing. It's like Curtain Call, which is a children's theater in Kokomo, Kokomo Symphony Orchestra. It's such a cool thing to see them say, you know what, we're better together than we are apart. Let's work together to benefit the community in a better way. How can we improve the arts as a whole in our community versus just in our sector of the arts? You can't talk down collaboration. It's a great thing, and I would love to see more of it as we move forward, because I, again, believe that we're better together than we are apart.
I agree with you, and what a smart thing. Who thinks about just, you don't think about pulling from others when you, but if you can not have everything the same night, it only makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But getting everybody together to kind of coordinate.
You're
going to
have a smaller audience if y'all have the same event at the same night.
Exactly. What else do you have on your plate over there?
Yeah. So I have some fun things to share with you guys. I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but our senior vice president, Emerald Blankenship, was in the inaugural Heartland 20 Under 40 edition this last month. And we are so excited to celebrate her. I think you guys have had the opportunity to meet her, and she runs our grants program, works with our donors. Emerald is just, some people would say, a gem, as her name would suggest. but she does just an excellent job in our community, and it was so fun to see her recognized in that way and nominated for that 20 Under 40 recognition. There's some really cool people in that magazine this year, and if you get a chance, you ought to go check it out. It's on our Facebook page. Her article was really good, and I think it emanates her heart for the community and for the work that she does, which I think a lot of us carry. And I just think overall it speaks to the value of our staff on the foundation team. We just have an excellent team that really is passionate about the work that we do, and I think that's so important. I told Kat, you know, when we brought her on, that culture and care and passion for the community is more important to us than, you know, we could teach skill, but you can't really teach passion and culture.
Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. You guys do share a lot of passion. It's fun to hang out with you guys and just be kind of a fly on the wall to hear you guys throw ideas back and forth. And it is quite an honor for her to be recognized in that manner. So
absolutely.
Again, a tribute to the staff that you have over there, because when you guys are starting to get recognized on a state level, hello, I mean.
Yes.
That's all good. So for some other, maybe some nonprofits or groups that are, you know, listening today, maybe watching on Hoosier Land TV, what's the best way for them to connect with you? I mean, should they call? Should they go to the website? Should they check out the website first? Talk about that.
I would definitely say start with the website just to get your base information. But definitely have a conversation with us. If you haven't talked to us yet and you're a nonprofit leader, now is the time. Like get plugged in. Give us a call, get an opportunity to talk to Emerald, talk to Carrie, our community leadership coordinator, and just tell them what you're doing, what your heart is, and the work that you're moving forward with. And oftentimes, you know, we want to facilitate those conversations, but we also want to be able to give suggestions if you have something you're struggling with. We know a lot of people, so we are able to give direction on, hey, you might talk to so-and-so about these things. And then Emerald's also able to give you guidance on if you're interested in applying for a grant, what direction you're looking at. If you're a new nonprofit, I would say, you know, really working on your overall structure and making sure you're ready to move into that role really is important. But again, if you're a nonprofit that hasn't connected with us, I would say please get plugged in, because we want to be there to support you in your sustainability in the community.
Emily, how long have you been with the foundation?
I've been there almost 4 years now. Can you believe that?
No, I can't actually. and when you're thinking about, oh, I got to get out of bed this morning to go to work, what are some of the favorite aspects? What's the thing you're like, oh, I can't wait to do this in my job?
Oh my gosh. That's really hard.
Because I think I have a good job. I mean, Mel and I get to hang out. We get to talk to people like you all day. We have a lot of friends that communicate with us here. And so I think I have a great job.
Yeah.
So when you think about your job, what is like, oh, this is one of the best parts of my job?
You know what? There's so many things that I could name. I think my favorite thing is collaboration. I get to work, because we're on the marketing team, we get to work with every team in the office. And that's really fun, because I get to see all the work that they're doing. But we also get to work with our nonprofits and get out in the community. I think overall my favorite thing about being at the foundation is, while we have typical stress, I never walk away in a day and think that I didn't do my best to make a difference in the community. And being a part of that is very valuable to me. I've been in other jobs where I did walk away and feel like I just didn't really get anything done that day. And we do have those days where it's just like, we had so many meetings
everybody
today.
Everybody has a day.
But I will say, like, those meetings are still valuable. And I think I love to see the passion in the community to serve the underserved, to serve the people that need assistance. And we are always talking to people that are interested in how we can do better for our community. And that is just so valuable to me. The whole concept of philanthropy and charitable giving is has a depth to it that you wouldn't imagine sometimes until you're in the field and you're like, oh, okay, like there's a lot to be had in this field. And the work that is happening across the state, I've told you guys before, Indiana is the only state in the country that has a community foundation in every county. And so a lot of stuff is happening in the state, and it's all really great. There's a lot of different models, and so I could get nerdy about all this. I won't bore
She's
you.
She's not going to geek out on us
I
over here.
I won't bore you with all of this.
It's not boring. I really thought you were going to say handing out those big checks, like your
Oprah
moment.
That's a fun part.
That is a fun part.
It's... it's bigger than that. It's bigger than the dollars. And I think that sometimes that gets missed in the mix of things. And it's why I've worked really hard in my role to make sure that the community knows that it's not just the dollars. Like, I want you to know that we are the conduit at the foundation. The heroes in this story are the nonprofits and the donors who have a heart for the community. Those are the heroes in this story. We just bring the dollars where they need to go. We're just the conduit between everybody. And the passion that we see in all of those people that I just named is why I love my job.
Well, I couldn't say it any better than that. So I guess we'll just end on that note.
One last question.
Sure.
When do you go to your leadership conference that you're so excited about?
And yeah.
I know you're going to have a blast.
Yeah. So we have MUTS, the MUTS Philanthropic Institute, once a month. So I actually do that the week after next week for March. And this month we're going to the State House. So we're going to be working on some policy stuff. And that's a really cool thing about our field is that we don't just sit in the background of policy. We make sure that policy is doing the right things for this field and also advocating for our nonprofit friends who definitely you guys know need some advocating for, especially right now. So we get to go do that in a couple weeks. And I'm not going this year, but a lot of my friends in there are actually going to DC that same week to do some advocating for policy in DC. I'm going to DC in a couple months to advocate for some policy with a foundation that's close to my heart that I'm working with. So I'll be going out there to do that. And I think just, again, value in talking to our leaders and making sure they know what's happening on the ground is really important. And so we're doing that work to make sure that they know how the policies that they're making decisions on are impacting local communities and local people. The MUTS Institute is so much fun. We have that once a month, and I'll keep you guys updated on the things that we're doing. We have an amazing cohort. I can't even believe that I get to sit at that table.
CF Clinton, CF Howard, CFCarroll.org. If you'd like more information, you can check out any of those websites. You can also give them a call.
765-454-7298. You'll get to talk to our lovely Lucinda at the front desk, and she can get you where you need to go. You can also listen to the menu. There's options on there as well if you know who you want to talk to.
Well, Catherine, how was the first run here?
Well, if I don't screw anything up with this microphone. It was amazing. And if you guys want to talk about, you know, Emily says, get locked in if you're a nonprofit. I mean, she really means that. I mean, these women are so smart. They offer so much support. And I can't even imagine they are going to be there to support you all the way. They're just amazing.
It is one place, I tell you, where every dollar, I feel like, goes to. And if you can only give a dollar, they'll put it to good use. Telling you.
For sure.
If you can only give a dollar, give it over here. They'll do a lot with it. So we appreciate you guys coming in today.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Again, Emily Himmersbach is the Chief Marketing and Communications Director, and Catherine Calabro is the Communications Officer for the Community Foundation of Howard, Clinton, and Carroll Counties. We'll have our commissioners coming up next. You're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.